This is London Calling. Here is a summary of the news. The feature of tonight's raid on London has been the immensely effective barrage put up by the anti-aircraft guns. Soon after the warning was given, what sounded like a new barrage roared out, and there's been an unbroken sound of heavy guns all night. The Nazi marauders have been harassed and nonplussed, and many times changed direction, only to find themselves against a new assault of anti-aircraft fire. By midnight, it was known that Germany had lost at least 90 aircraft in the day's fighting, and two more have since been reported down. British losses were 17 planes, the pilots of three being safe. 14 German raiders in a battle over London this afternoon were shot down by a Polish squadron, which inflicted other heavy losses on the Germans last week. A Molotov bread basket was dropped in one area of London and caused some damage. The number of casualties is not yet known. Agency messages report an enemy plane down in North London, of which the crew have been captured, and another one down in the south of London. A high explosive bomb crashed on the roof of a London newspaper building and dropped through the 15,000-gallon water tank on the roof into a car park in the well of the building. There were no casualties, although there were two watchers on the roof at the time. One of them said afterwards, "We heard the screech of the bomb and jumped into the sandbagged watching post. So safe were we that we didn't even feel the blast." The most surprising news of last night's raids is that the casualties, which have now been made known, amounted to no more than 18 people killed and 280 injured. In Monday's raids, about 400 people had been killed and 1,400 injured. Last night, the Royal Air Force carried out attacks on the Dutch, Belgian and French coast, breaking up German preparations for an attempted invasion. Barge concentrations, dock buildings and shipping were set on fire. Inland targets in Germany included aerodromes, the airframe factory at Bremen, as well as docks there and at Wilhelmshaven. It's clear, therefore, that the Royal Air Force bombing of Berlin last night, in which the Potsdam railway station was set on fire, was only a small part of the night's operations. Across the Atlantic, Canada and the United States have made plans to pool their defense forces in the event of an attack. This was announced by Mr. LaGuardia after the United States-Canada Defense Board ended its second series of talks yesterday. President Roosevelt, in a speech last night, declared that his supreme determination was to do all he could to keep war away from American shores for all time. The United States House of Representatives yesterday passed, without opposition, a bill to prevent communists, fascists, and Nazis acquiring United States naturalization. The bill has been sent to the Senate. We've been glad to hear that 1,700 children have arrived safely from this country in New Zealand. And that's the end of this news summary from London.
Mutual broadcast from London, England, a British news summary is presented by the BBC. European broadcasts are subject to censorship at the point of origin. We take you now to London.
This is London Calling. German raids on London tonight seem to be even less effective than last night's attacks. They started later than usual, and once again, London's new barrage system has apparently been successful in keeping them away from the central districts and the East End. Some bombs have been dropped, but there have been long lulls, and even the gunfire has been spasmodic as lone raiders came over at infrequent intervals. A main street was temporarily blocked in one district when a high explosive bomb crashed in the railway, and there were some slight casualties. In another district, a water tower and a small house were hit by explosive bombs. Yesterday, 125 people were killed in the afternoon raid on London and 40 in the night raid. The RAF again plastered military targets in German-occupied territory last night. Some of the attacks lasted for 4 hours. The freight yards of the Potsdam and Anhalt stations in the heart of Berlin and the Tempelhof aerodrome figured on the list. But the biggest blows were on Hamburg, Bremen, Ostend, and half a dozen other points where Hitler's massing ships and barges in the hope of invading Britain. In a daylight raid yesterday, Coastal Command planes sank a supply ship in convoy off Dunkirk and attacked another convoy off Cap Grenet. One ship of 3,000 tons was left burning, and another large vessel was seriously damaged. A gift of 40 Spitfire and 18 Lockheed Hudsons for the Royal Air Force has been made by Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands for a fund raised in the Netherlands Indies placed at her disposal. Brisbane, in Australia, raised more than £12,000 in less than 24 hours to help London air raid victims. Here at home, the King sent £1,000 to the Lord Mayor's Fund, the Queen and Queen Mary £500 each, and there have also been gifts from other members of the royal family. British patrols have been active all along the northern frontier of Kenya and have inflicted casualties. In eastern Libya yesterday, Royal Air Force raids started fires on several Italian aerodromes, and the South African Air Force bombed an aerodrome in central Abyssinia. Four Italian aircraft were shot down into the sea by our fighters during an unsuccessful attempt to raid Nasser Matru. At least 50 people are believed to have been killed and 200 injured in an explosion at a powder factory at Kenville, New Jersey. Relief workers and supplies are being rushed to the district by sea. The cause of the disaster is being investigated by the Federal Bureau. The factory is one of the largest in the United States and makes powder and dynamite for the government. Agency messages from Madrid say that Señor Suner, the Spanish Minister of the Interior, left this evening for San Sebastian on his way to Berlin. That's the end of this news summary from London.
Mutual broadcast direct from London, England, a British news summary is presented by the British Broadcasting Corporation. All European broadcasts at this time are subject to censorship at the point of origin. We take you now to London, England.
Here are the latest reports. After a longish lull, two planes came over together and the guns again went into action. Two bombs were dropped, and intense firing broke overhead like a storm. Shells plastered the sky, and the planes retreated before the barrage. A bomb fell through a house in the southwest area and killed a woman who was asleep in a chair. High explosive and incendiary bombs were dropped in the southeast and west areas. Earlier, a great duel between our guns and the raiders was fought out on the outskirts of London. Some bombs fell in the square in southwest London, but did no important damage. There were a few minor casualties when a bomb fell near two shelters, each with about 50 people in it. In a southeast area, a small fire broke out in an auxiliary fire service station, but it was quickly dealt with. In other parts of the country, enemy planes were reported over a town in the southwest, and a lone raider attacked a Welsh town. Here, a hotel was partly demolished by a direct hit, and three or four people are believed to have been trapped and killed. The raider was driven off by anti-aircraft fire. Their Majesties, the King and Queen, have received many messages expressing indignation and sympathy after today's bombing of Buckingham Palace. Among them are messages from the Canadian Prime Minister, Mr. Mackenzie King, the Polish President, the Polish Prime Minister, and the Prime Minister of Northern Ireland. The raid in which Buckingham Palace was hit lasted for 4 hours. It was London's longest daylight raid. Incendiary bombs fell on Downing Street, among other places, but again there was little damage. It was stated today that the House of Lords was hit by an incendiary bomb, but no damage was done and no one was hurt. The RAF is again striking hard at Germany's war machine. Watchers on the English coast tonight saw flashes of gunfire across the channel in the direction of Calais and Boulogne. There are cascades of flaming onions, especially near Cap Grenet. Last night's RAF attacks did severe damage to the enemy's war industries and played havoc with railways and shipping centers used by German troops on their way to the Channel ports. Bombs were dropped in the freight yards at Ham and other places. The docks at Emden and Flushing were set on fire, and the railway yard at Brussels came in for a heavy pasting. Our raiders also bombed Essen, where the big Krupp works are. The Joint Council of the Red Cross and St. John Ambulance of New Zealand has sent £10,000 to the British organization for the relief of air raid distress. Australia's contribution to the fund for London's victims of air raids has reached in one day a total of £60,000.
Well, that's the end of the late news summary for tonight.
Mutual presents direct from London a report by Arthur Mann, one of Mutual's American correspondents in Europe. European broadcasts are subject to censorship at the point of origin. We take you now to London.
Good evening, everybody. The anti-aircraft guns of London are barking as I begin writing this talk. The Battle of Britain has, for the time being, become the Battle of London. And London, since last night, has been fighting back and fighting very effectively. Germany's intensive night air raids on this city began last Saturday night. Since then, according to the latest available figures, there have been nearly 6,000 casualties, of which more than 1,000 were fatal. But until last night, so far as we non-combatant civilians could tell, German raiders, once they reached London, had it pretty much their own way. Judging from the sound, the German planes flew back and forth over the town with the apparent regularity of a bus or a streetcar service. We heard little anti-aircraft gunfire in London, and the British fighter planes were seemingly occupied elsewhere. But last night, things were different. From after dinner until dawn, heaven was cracked by the intensity of the ground anti-aircraft guns. The skyline was encircled by their flashes, and the clear, star and moonlit sky was pockmarked by the bursting high-explosive shells. It was the most terrific performance I have yet heard, not excepting the anti-aircraft shooting in the Battle of Flanders and the anti-aircraft barrage at Dover. There appeared to be many more anti-aircraft guns in London, including bigger ones, than we had previously suspected. But that was the least of our surprise. What puzzled us last night, and still puzzles us, is the fact that except for an occasional flash, the London searchlights did not go into action. In other words, London's guns were seemingly not firing by sight. This means that they must have been firing by sound. It looks as though some form of sound rangefinder has been developed and has now been put into operation. This may be the answer to the rumor which has been going around town for several weeks that some new form of air raid defense had been worked out. Judging from the gun flashes, the anti-aircraft batteries are now concentrating upon the lanes along which the German raiders enter and leave the London zone. The guns seemed to pick up the enemy planes as they flew along these lanes, encircling the machines in a ring of bursting shells, which followed them along the inward path and back again until they left the London defense area. The result has appeared to be that the German planes now have to fly higher and faster than formerly, and their ability to sight on any particular target could thus be materially reduced. There is even evidence that some of the enemy machines are being so harassed by the intensity of the anti-aircraft fire that they are not dropping their bombs on the inner London area at all. And the fact that London is now effectively fighting back against the raiders has already had a tremendous effect upon the attitude of the people here. I noticed it when I came downtown this morning. There was a general cheerful attitude which had been absent for the previous 4 days. I talked with a number of friends who had shared my experience. Despite the terrific roar of the anti-aircraft fire, I had had the best sleep in the last 5 nights, soothed by the knowledge that most of the explosions I heard when I was awakened were from the defending guns and not from the invading bombs. For there is no use pretending that the previous 4 nights had been anything but distinctly unpleasant. Lying in your cellar or dugout or air raid shelter, listening to the crash and crump of bursting bombs, it seemed as though London was being steadily and methodically reduced to ruins. You thought of the homes and hospitals which were being shattered, besides an occasional military objective, of the people who were being mangled and maimed, and wondered what would be the final result. There is decidedly no fun in feeling like a sitting rabbit while the bombs burst and there is little shooting back. Yet, despite all the crashing explosions of those 4 nights, despite the casualties, the wrecked houses and flats and business buildings, and the fact that the German planes seemed to have it all their own way, the total damage to humanity and property has been infinitely less than the authorities here anticipated at the outbreak of the war in the event of repeated large-scale German raids on London. Hospitals have been particularly unfortunate in these night raids on London. Some here are arguing that this is the result of deliberate German policy. But it seems far too great a compliment to the effectiveness of the German bombsighters flying high and fast over blacked-out London. These tragedies, I think, should rather be credited to the apparent German policy of dumping bombs at random over the London area. One of the most spectacular bits of London night bombing in the last few days was in the fashionable shopping district off Piccadilly Circus, the center of West End London. Bombs there shattered the windows of smart shops, and the pavements and streets were littered with fur coats, jewelry, fine cigars, expensive articles of apparel, and the numerous items which make up the store stocks of a great and rich city. But there is no section of London which has escaped bombing. From the outer and inner suburbs, across the West End and through the city, the financial and wholesale district, to the poor and slummish East End and down to and beyond the London docks. Bombs have fallen near the Bank of England. Others have dropped on and near the Strand, familiar to every American visitor to London. Tonight it was learned that when Madame Tussauds, the famous waxwork show, was hit the other night, the effigy of Adolf Hitler was among those undamaged. An unexploded bomb still rests near St. Paul's Cathedral. The building of the Evening Standard, owned by Lord Beaverbrook, now Director of Aircraft Production, and the office of the Daily Herald, official organ of the British Labour Trade Union movement, were both slightly damaged. One of the bomb buildings in the Strand was Somerset House, where births, deaths, and stock ownership are registered. Another German hit was on a house in the Chiswick area, once lived in by Hogarth, a famous 18th century artist, known throughout the world for his series, The Rake's Progress. Recent German raid tactics have included the haphazard dropping of delayed action bombs. These are immediately spotted by the street patrols on duty and roped off, so that when they explode, there are no casualties. It would seem, therefore, that aside from being a slight nuisance, they are far less harmful than they would be if they exploded on contact. Tonight's air raid siren sounded at 9:10, and as I close this talk, the raid is apparently still in progress, for we have not yet had the all clear. That is not surprising, for the German planes usually persist until dawn or just before. So far, the raiders do not appear to have been as active as they were last night, but we can hear down below, here in the broadcasting studio, the occasional crump of a bomb or a burst of anti-aircraft fire. If you hear any unusual explosive sounds, it means that you are listening in on the raid. Incendiary bombs are, as usual, being dropped as well as high explosives. It's getting to be a routine affair for us, these night raids. The excitement now is waiting for the unexpected invasion attempt. It may not be so many hours off. Thank you and good night.